Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers who have with itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned into fables. And this is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. I'd like to just briefly, we're starting a new year, and just bring our attention to some of the functions of the church, just as a reminder. Peter says, I will not be negligent to remind you. Петр говорит, я буду вам напоминать. Какие основные характеристики или функции церкви? To understand the church, we have to understand that the church is like a school. It's a place where we come to learn, and it's a place where teachers and pastors teach. And so, number one, the church exists, according to Paul and other scriptures. Remember, Jesus gave the Great Commission. It says, go and teach. The church exists to teach and for us to learn. Every time we get together for a worship service, whether it's a Bible class, whether it's a Bible study during the week, whether it's a prayer service, whether it's our corporate worship on Sunday morning, the main function of why we gather together is to learn about the Lord through His Word. Церковь существует для учения, наставления. И когда мы слышим это, чтобы мы поучались всегда, когда мы собираемся или для изучения Священного Писания, или для нашего общего богопоклонения. Secondly, when we look at what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, he writes about the effect that teaching has upon the members they come together. When we read Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, Paul writes, he gave to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Бог даровал для церкви апостолов, пророков, евангелистов, пастырей, учителей к совершению святых. Когда мы слышим Слово Господне, оно должно преображать наше размышление, чтобы наш разум и наша жизнь была подобна Иисусу Христу через изучение Слова Его. Through the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, the body of Christ becomes conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You ladies, when you make a jello or when you make a mold, you pour a liquid into a shape and then you put it in the freezer, in the refrigerator, and it begins to have the shape of the mold. The mold that our life needs to conform to is God's Word, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And the result is that through this process, God prepares us to minister and to serve. Когда наша жизнь изменяется, и мы становимся подобными Иисусу Христу и Слову, и вот тогда Господь готовит нас к служению, не только для Его славы, но и друг другу. Number three, we read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, that the church exists to serve. Peter writes and says, God has given each of us a spiritual gift, and that we are to use this spiritual gift to serve each other. Spiritual gifts, just like salvation, we can't earn them, we don't deserve them, they're a gift from God. God gives it to us. Апостол Петр пишет, что каждый из нас получил дарование от Господа, и чтобы мы этими дарами духовными служили друг другу. Точно как спасение, мы не зарабатываем дары, которые Господь дает нам. Мы недостойны тех даров, которые Господь дает нам. Он нам дает их как дар, как благодать, бесплатно, даром, чтобы мы употребляли их и раздавали это другим людям. Spiritual gifts are just like the talents. The amounts of money, the wealth that the man gave to his servants when he left and he went on a long trip. He entrusted his money to his servant, knowing that when he gives it to him and expecting to get a return on his money when he came back. And we know the story about several servants that were faithful and they were able to multiply the money that was entrusted to him, but one was a lazy and an evil servant, and he buried if you will, in a hole in the backyard, he buried the treasure that his owner gave him. And even though he did not lose it or waste it, the Lord rebukes him and he says, you were not faithful. Fourth, the church exists to participate.
Четвертое, церковь существует для того, чтобы мы в служении церкви участвовали, не были пассивными, не просто сидели, когда мы приходим, но чтобы мы участвовали.
Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the new believers in Christ were commanded, because it was the command of the Lord, go and teach, baptizing them. They were to be baptized. That's their participation. That's their joining together and becoming members of the body of Christ in Acts 2:38. Secondly, believers are to participate in communion. That's how we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. 1 Corinthians 11, we read that often. We're going to read it today when we come to the table of the Lord. Paul writes there, as often as you do this.
Когда мы участвуем в богослужениях церкви, есть две специфических заповеди, которые Господь дает церкви. Первое – это крещение, когда мы присоединяемся, видимо, к церкви или к телу Господнему. Это знак нашего участия через крещение в церкви поместной. Второе – мы участвуем в хлебопреломлении или вспоминаем. Апостол Павел говорит, всегда – каждый раз, когда вы собираетесь и вспоминаете смерть Господню, вы возвещаете. Это наше участие друг с другом в нашем богопоклонении.
And fifth, the church exists to fulfill the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, Jesus said, all authority is given to me by my Father in heaven. And so now I command you, just like the Father commanded me, I command you, go. Go and teach. And when you teach, baptize those that believe in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Церковь существует, чтобы выполнять и исполнять великое поручение Иисуса Христа. Перед тем, как Он вознесся на небо, 28 глава Евангелия от Матфея, Господь сказал, всякая власть или авторитет дан мне. Кем? Это было дано Отцом Иисусу Христу. И тогда Иисус говорит, а теперь этот авторитет и власть я даю вам. Я вам поручаю и повелеваю, и идите. Не просто сидеть нам здесь и радоваться, но и идите, научите всех, крестя их во имя Отца и Сына и Духа Святого.
And so the church, it is a place where we can learn from the Word of God. It's a place where we can begin to practice and minister to each other with the gifts that God has given us. And it is a result of a transformed life where our mind begins to think about the things of God, where our life, our pattern, our speech, the things we do in our life, they are modeled after Jesus Christ. They're modeled after the disciples of Jesus Christ, the apostles, the New Testament church, when we read the book of Acts, all the epistles, when we read them, our life begins to look like those people. And so the church exists to teach. The church exists to equip and to prepare us to minister to each other. The church exists so we can serve, so that we can participate, and so that we can fulfill the Great Commission.
Церковь существует, функция церкви для того, чтобы учились мы здесь и Слово Господне, чтобы Слово Господне проповедовалось, наставление, чтобы мы тут получали, и через этот процесс, чтобы мы приходили в состояние совершенства и были подобны Иисусу Христу, и служили друг другу и Господу теми духовными дарами, которых Он даровал нам. Мы должны участвовать, видимо, в служении церкви и церковь. Главной функцией является распространение Евангелия по всему миру.
And so those are the functions of the church. Now the church is made up of individual members. Peter writes, every single one of you is a living stone, built upon the foundation that is the cornerstone. You see, many bricks and many layers of bricks as this building was built. These bricks are dead. But inside
is a living body of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us is alive personally because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And every single one of us is added to the living organism that is the church that is built on the body of Jesus Christ. And so we have responsibilities as Christians. If we're part of the body of Christ, then we're members of the church and we have certain responsibilities.
Функцию церкви мы понимаем, но мы должны понимать, что как члены церкви Господней мы имеем ответственности. Апостол Петр пишет, каждый из нас является живым камнем. Часть тела Господня, которая живая. Церковь Христова, она живая. И каждый камень, каждый из нас живой камень, но созидает тело Господне, которое построено на фундаменте, который является Иисус Христос. Господь сказал Петру, ты камень, ты маленький камень. А я так сказала, непоколебимая, на которой я построю церковь мою. Итак, верующие люди, члены Церкви Господней, имеют ответственность.
The first responsibility the church has, Peter writes, is to be holy. Peter writes, God is holy, and you be holy.
Петр пишет, Господь святой, и вы будьте святы так, как Господь святой.
And so we have to live in a holy way. When God called Israel, when God called Abraham, from whom Israel came, God said, walk before me, chapter 12 of Genesis.
Бог призвал Авраама и сказал, ходи предо мною.
What does it mean to walk before God? That means that you're conscious that you're in the presence of God. You're not only walking and living in the world, you're walking in front of God. God is sitting on his throne looking down on us how we live. Sadly, when God looks down on mankind and early on in Genesis before the flood, God saw that the heart of man was wicked and that the mind of man was wicked. And when God called Abraham, God needed to change Abraham and give him the gift of salvation and of faith, just like he does for all of us. Because on our own, we're simply evil. But when God transforms us, then we can walk before him. And as God looks down, we're walking in holiness, which means we're separated from the world.
Жить святой жизнью обозначает быть в присутствии Господнем, а не в присутствии мирском. Не любите мира, Иоанн пишет, любите Господа. Жизнь наша, Господь смотрит на нас. Когда Господь посмотрел на мир перед потопом, Он увидел, что все намерение, размышление, разум человека развращен. Пророк Иезекииль говорит нам, что Иеремия, что сердце человека лукаво превыше всего.
Так что первая, самая главная ответственность верующих людей, членов церковь, ходить и жить свято перед Господом, потому что Бог святой, и никакая нечистота не войдет в Его присутствие.
Мы читаем в многих местах в Библии целый перечень тех людей, которые не попадут туда.
Те, которые практикуют грех, это означает, что они не живут святой жизни. Господь призывает к покаянию, к исповеданию грехов.
Secondly, the responsibility of the church, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, is to faithfully participate in the ministry of the local church. Paul writes, do not forsake the assembling of yourself, as some people do.
Вторая ответственность верующего человека, члена церкви, особенно если вы члены церкви, поместной церкви, в Библии нету людей, которые не принадлежали поместной церкви. Все принадлежали церкви. Когда они принимали крещение, они отождествлялись не только всемирным телом Господней церкви, но с поместной церкви.
И они жили свято, когда мы читаем Новый Завет. И они верно участвовали в богослужениях церкви. Апостол Павел пишет в 10 главе послания к евреям, не оставляйте церкви вашей. Не оставляйте богослужения ваши.
Где члены нашей церкви сегодня, которые не пришли?
Надо задавать вопрос.
Апостол Павел говорит, у некоторых обычая есть. А что такое обычая? Обычая – это практика ихней жизни. Жить свято обозначает иметь практику святить или нашей жизни, через наши жизни жить свято, отделенным от мира. Если мы регулярно сюда не приходим для изучения Священного Писания и совместного богопоклонения, то мы не свято живем, и мы поступаем, как те, которые апостол Павел говорит, которые регулярно оставляют церковь свою. And so faithfully participating in worship. Every time you have an opportunity and you don't take advantage of it, you lose. You lose the teaching that occurs here. Tomorrow this teaching will be simply recorded on the internet. But you will lose the experience of being here in the presence of God and fellowshipping with one another. I can understand if you're sick or perhaps if you're traveling or maybe there are circumstances when you can't be at church, but if you're well, if you're healthy and you have no excuse not to be in God's house on God's day. When people come from far distances and thousands of miles from another country and they found our service this morning, that is a believer that is well taught by a good pastor that is faithful in his ministry and in his calling. Later on in Hebrews 10:24-25, Paul writes, he says, do not only not forsake the assembling of yourself, but rather encourage each other to love and to good works. Не только не оставляйте ваше богослужение, церковь вашу, но поощряйте друг друга к любви и добрым делам. Не просто быть пассивными или не проходить на собрание, но активно участвовать, поощряя друг друга. How do you encourage somebody when you don't come to service regularly? You can't. You have to be here. When we sit around the table, for example, downstairs, and the talk that occurs, that's an encouragement to each other. When we share what happened in our life this past year, we heard the testimonies on the other night of people that came to faith or people who God has worked in their life. The New Testament knows nothing about hopping around from one church to the other. Instead, the church in the Bible is recognized as a family. Any one of you that belongs to a family at night when you're done with work, where do you go? Do you go to a stranger's house for dinner? No, you go home. I know when I come home, there's going to be a pleasant atmosphere at home because my wife has prepared a meal for us to sit down and enjoy together and to worship in the process. And so faithful participation is in contrast to irregular attendance at church. And so at the beginning of the year, I would encourage you to make a new commitment to the Lord, to be faithful, to encourage each other through your love and participation and encouragement for good works. The responsibility, fourthly, of the members of the body of Christ, as I already mentioned, 1 Peter 4:10, is to serve each other with the spiritual gifts God has given you. Perhaps you've never served in a church. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Maybe you're a person that can encourage people. You can put your arms around them, give them a hug, and say, I'm going to pray for you. Or ask if there's a need that I can help you with. Maybe you can go visit somebody. Maybe God is giving you the gift of financial giving to participate financially in the work of the church. That is another responsibility of church membership. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Paul writes, every Sunday when you come together, bring what God has blessed you with so that you can participate when we have an offering. Do you do that? Do you do that regularly? Or do you do it irregularly? Paul writes, it says, to the degree that God has blessed you. Насколько Господь благословил вас, приготовьте ваше пожертвование, когда вы приходите в первый день недели. Это наставление, это учение, это ответственность наша, как верующие люди, как члены церкви. Now, thirdly, there's different categories in the church. Some people say, well, I'm too old to do anything. Other people say, I'm too busy to do anything. I have a family to support. I'm busy. I'm working. And then still others say, well, I'm too young to do anything. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and says, let no man despise your youth. Есть те, которые говорят, я слишком молодой, чтобы служить или участвовать. Среднего возраста, иногда мы слышим, люди говорят, я слишком занят служить Господу. Я не молодой, я когда буду старше, может быть. А есть те, которые говорят, я уже слишком старец, чтобы участвовать в служении церкви. Абсолютно нет. Господь во все возрастах, во все времена призывает всю церковь совместно, как одно тело, как одна семья, служить Ему. God calls us to all work together. There's no such thing as separate divisions in a church. There's different ministries. There's youth ministry, and there's children's ministry, and there's music ministry, and there's music, and there's ministry up there where the brothers take care of the internet, and there's ministry from the pulpit. There's different ministries. There's women ministries. There's many different things you can do. But we do it together as one body. We don't create division in the church, and so that is what we call corporate worship. Наше совместное, регулярное, активное участие во всех богослужениях. Discipleship is important. I've mentioned several times already the ministry of the word and those that sit and listen to the word being taught. That's discipleship, where you learn to be a disciple. Быть учеником Иисуса Христа. Когда мы слушаем Слово Господне, и оно преображает нашу жизнь, мы как ученики Иисуса получаем наставление, чтобы тогда так жить, как Господь научил нас. Discipleship was used in the Greek and world and Roman world when a rich man, he would hire a servant that would be a teacher to his young son, and this man or this woman would accompany the children everywhere they went, especially when they would go out and walk. The man was always there to protect the little boy. A horse might come down the street and accidentally hurt the boy, or a wagon, or they might be walking in a hill someplace, and the child can slip. The person that comes to walk alongside is what the Greek word means. It means to put your hand around him. Взять за руку и привести. Быть наставником для того, который ученик. Это ответственность, которую Господь возлагает на нас. Woman's ministry. Obedience to the word. These are all part of our corporate worship. Those of us that stand here in front of the pulpit, Paul writes, cut it straight. Teach the word correctly. Правильно наставляя, излагая Слово Господне для тех из нас, которые стоим перед вами. And finally, evangelism. We are all called. Jesus commanded, go and teach. Not just the pastors, not just the missionaries, but everybody. Be faithful. When you meet a person, invite him to come to church. Get some of the cards that we have with the address on it and give it to people. I know many of you do that, but it's an encouragement at the start of the year for the rest of us. And so when we put all the pieces together of the church, we see it all boils down to our commitment. Чтобы суммировать все, делать какие-то выводы, мы должны понять, что все зависит от нашей преданности Господу. It all begins with the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing God. Second Peter writes, he says, God is patient, long-suffering, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to a knowledge of God. Бог долготерпелив, не желает, чтобы кто погиб, но желает, чтобы все познали Его. Преданность к Богу начинается с познанием Его. Если вы Его не знаете, вы должны Его познать. Вы не можете быть членом церкви, если вы не познали Господа. Если вы не приняли жертву Господню верой и не раскаялись в грехах ваших. Secondly, you need to have a commitment to God's Word. David loved the Word of God. Read Psalm 1. Read Psalm 19. Read Psalm 1. 19, 176 verses. Each one of them exalts the word of God. David loved the word of God. David любил Слово Господне. Любим ли мы Слово Господне, как Давид любил Слово Господне? Commitment to the church? Are you committed to the church? Are you here? Are you committed to the Word of God? And finally, a commitment to ministry or to missions. You know, God never tells us ahead of time where He's going to send us. Paul went and he went and he went and he went and he went. He had a goal to get to Rome, but he visited all the cities on the way to Rome, knowing that that is where God called him to go. But it all begins here at the local church. If you're here regularly, if you're learning the Word of God, God will mature you and grow you to become a spiritual person. And then perhaps you will stand up here and teach the church. Perhaps God will send you to be a pastor somewhere else. Perhaps God will send you to be a missionary somewhere else. Perhaps God will simply ask you to bring somebody to church and give them a ride to church. You don't know, but these are all things that you can do. And so the pattern for biblical living begins with a commitment to the Lord and to His Word and to His church and to His people and to the people that surround us that don't know Him. And these are just some ideas as you go home and you think about them as about your involvement in the church for this year to come. May God bless His Word. Amen.